I greet you in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And once again, it is so good to see all of you in His house. Aren't you glad to be here this morning? Yes, all right, very good. I'm so glad that you are glad that you are in the house of the Lord this morning. And always remember this purpose. We are here for what? For what purpose? Of course, to worship the one true living God. That's our main purpose. And we want to tell the world that we have a living Savior. That's why we are gathering here for corporate worship and not spending our time elsewhere on the Lord's Day morning. All right, do you believe you have a living Savior? Yes. All right, we have a living Savior. And then if we say that we really have a living Savior, then we must all the time go around showing people that we have a living Savior. We must be very, very cheerful in our countenance. Don't you think so? Yes. But I think many a time we go around looking as sad as people in the world. But that shouldn't be the case. We have a living Savior, the living Savior in our hearts. And then next Sunday, we are going to observe Palm Sunday. That was the Sunday on which our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ entered triumphantly into the city of Jerusalem on the back of a donkey. All right. In fact, on the back of the colt of a donkey, to be more accurate. And then we are going to observe Good Friday. The Friday following, we are going to observe Good Friday. Will you be here on Good Friday? Not sure, you see? Yes. You say you love the Lord. Good Friday, you see, this is a holy season. We want to thank the Lord for His love for us. And then now you're not sure Good Friday you'll be here or not. We must be very sure. We want to come here and remember what the Lord Jesus Christ did for us. Why don't we make this commitment in our hearts now and say, Good Friday, I will be here. I want to remember what the Lord did for me on the cross of Calvary. And then we will have a Resurrection Sunday following Good Friday. What a glorious Sunday that will be. Yes, and then as we celebrate the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, of course we want to think of our own resurrection, right? When we pass away from this world, when we are buried in the ground, one day when the Lord returns, we are going to be resurrected. What a great and wonderful day that will be. And then those of us who are still alive, we will be caught up to be with the Lord in the air, and we will see Him face to face, and we shall be like Him. Do you have this blessed hope, friends? Yes, no? Yes. Yes! That blessed hope. And then we must live like we really have this blessed hope. And we really have this blessed hope. The topic this morning is Be an Andrew. John chapter 1 verses 29 to 42, the text that we read earlier on, that will be the text I will be basing my message on. Now when we talk about the disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, chances are we'll be thinking of Peter, James and John, right? And we might think of the Apostle Paul, or then we might also think of the Apostle Matthew, because Matthew wrote the Gospel of Matthew. And then we will, of course, remember Thomas. We remember Thomas for his doubting. And so Thomas had been given this nickname, Doubting Thomas. But we hardly think of the other disciples. We hardly think of, say, Andrew. But Andrew is the person that we want to talk about this morning. Now, what is meant by Andrew? Andrew means man. It means warrior. Now, when your parents gave you the name Andrew, I suppose that they have hoped that one day you will become very manlike, very warrior-like, you will be very, very courageous, and you will be very, very bold. Yes, I'm not saying that you will surely perfectly live up to that name. We've all been given very, very beautiful names. I know that I've been given a great name, but I don't think I've been able to live up to that name. But sometimes, when we describe a person, we might say, oh, that person or that man is his own man. Now, what do we mean by that? What we are saying is that that person is able to make his own decisions. Very, very independent. That man is his own man. Now, if you were to substitute the word Andrew for the word man, then you might have something like that. That Andrew is his own Andrew. Now, what does the Lord want an Andrew to be? What kind of Andrew? Now, the Lord will surely want an Andrew to be the Lord's Andrew and not Andrew's Andrew. Yes, that's what the Lord wants Andrews to be. And today, we want to look at this one Andrew who was the Lord's Andrew. What a thriving church this church will be if all of us here are Andrews who are the Lord's Andrews. Don't you think so? I'd like us to consider 3 points about this Andrew, the disciple of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who was indeed the Lord's Andrew. Now, the first thing we want to talk about him is his spiritual perception. The spiritual perception of Andrew. Then we will talk about Andrew's evangelistic zeal. And then finally, we will talk about Andrew's call. So, 3 points this morning. First, Andrew's spiritual perception. Now, Andrew was in the first instance a disciple of John the Baptist. He didn't become the disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ straight away. He was actually a disciple of John the Baptist. John the Baptist had a big following, let's not forget. And we read in John chapter 1, verses 35 to 40. Let's turn to these few verses. John chapter 1, verses 35 to verse 40. John 1, 35 to 40. Please turn to the verses very, very quickly. John 1, 35 to 40, I read for you the verses. Again, the next day after, John stood and two of his disciples. And looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, Behold, the Lamb of God. And the two disciples heard him speak. And they followed Jesus. Now these two disciples were disciples of John the Baptist. Verse 38. Then Jesus turned and saw these two disciples of John the Baptist following, and saith unto them, What seek ye? And they said unto him, Rabbi, which is to say, being interpreted, Master, where dwellest thou? Verse 39. He saith unto them, Come and see. Where do you stay? In other words, and Jesus said, Come and see. They came and saw where Jesus stayed and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour, about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. Verse 40. One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. So you see, he was one of those two disciples. Now, for how long Andrew was with John the Baptist, we really do not know. But there came a time when the Lord Jesus Christ appeared on the scene, and he appeared by the River Jordan to be baptized by John the Baptist. And when John the Baptist saw the Lord Jesus Christ, he cried out, Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. And then when John made that declaration, two of his disciples heard. Of course, there could have been other disciples who heard, but these two disciples heard. And one of them was, of course, Andrew. We read in verse 40, one of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. They wanted to know where the Lord Jesus Christ was staying, and the Lord said, Come and see. And as we said earlier on, it was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. So it was late afternoon, and that night they stayed with the Lord Jesus. Now, why did the two disciples want to know where the Lord Jesus Christ was staying? Now, I dare believe that their purpose was staying with the Lord Jesus Christ that night, wanting to find out where the Lord Jesus Christ was staying, was to find out more about this man whom John the Baptist addressed as the Lamb of God. This man was unusual, the Lamb of God, and they wanted to know more about this man who is known as the Lamb of God. And that fellowship they had with the Lord that night surely must have convinced Andrew that this was none other than the Messiah that the Jews had been waiting for centuries. And that is why, after that fellowship with the Lord, What did Andrew do? He first of all sought out his brother Peter, and we read in verse 41. He first findeth Peter. Yes, findeth Peter, findeth his own brother Simon Peter, and saith unto him, we have found the Messiah, or the Messiah, which is being interpreted the Christ. Behold the Lamb of God. Now what is meant by the Lamb of God? Now of course we know that the Lamb is a very meek, mild, lowly creature. And that of course would be the characteristics of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Meek and mild, true and lowly, absolutely true. But friends, the Lamb of God is more than this. In the Old Testament, we have the incident in which Abraham was about to sacrifice his son Isaac on Mount Moriah. Did you remember that? Yes, God had asked him to offer up his son. Give me your son, Isaac. And Abraham was prepared to do it. He brought Isaac to Mount Moriah and was about to offer him up as a sacrifice. The altar was ready. The firewood was on the altar. But where was the lamb? No lamb. We read in Genesis 22 verses 7 and 8. Let's turn to Genesis 22 and look at verses 7 and 8. But keep your finger at John chapter 1. Genesis 22. Let's very quickly refer to Genesis 22 and look at verses 7 and 8. Genesis 22, 7 and 8. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, my father. And he said, Abraham said, here am I, my son. And he said, behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? Verse 8. Now look at the answer given by Abraham. And Abraham said, my son, God will provide for himself a lamb. Did you read that? God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. And when Abraham was about to plunge the knife into his son Isaac, we read in verse 11, and the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here am I. Verse 12. And he said, lay not thy hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thy only son, from me. Verse 13. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram, a male sheep. In other words, a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the place of his son, instead of his son. Verse 14. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. So you see, God spared Isaac. And how did he spare Isaac? He spared Isaac by providing for himself a sacrifice in the form of a ram that was caught in the thicket. Who provided that ram? Who? Of course, God himself provided the ram. And that ram, my dear friends, surely was pointing to God's own sacrifice in the New Testament. Our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, who taketh away the sin of the world. And Abraham said, this place is called Jehovah Jireh, which means God provides. God provided for himself a sacrifice. And in the New Testament, God provided for himself a sacrifice in the person of none other than our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Now, there is no way that you and I can take away our sins. None of our good works can pay for our sins. None. Our righteousnesses, the Word of God tells us, are like filthy rags in the sight of God. We need the Lamb of God, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to take away our sins. My question to you this morning, and it's a very, very pertinent question, and I hope you think about this question, my dear friends. Do you see the Lord Jesus Christ as God's Lamb, sacrificed
for you, God's own lamb sacrifice for you. Do you see him as the Lamb of God sacrifice for you? Do you?
Now, if you do not see him as the Lamb of God provided by God to save you, my dear friends, you are still living in your sin. Yes, you are living under condemnation. You are separated from the one true living God. And when you pass away from this earth, you continue to be under condemnation. You continue to be separated from the one true living God. And where is your final destination? I said this over and over and over from this pulpit because I want to warn you, this is a real place. The final destination is, of course, the lake of fire. If you are unrepentant, you do not see the Lord Jesus Christ as the Lamb of God sacrificed for you, you are going to be in that place. And you're going to be there forever and ever and ever. And that's true, my dear friends. In the Old Testament, we also have the offering of the Passover lamb. We're talking about the meaning of the Lamb of God. Now, in the Old Testament, we see the offering known as the Passover lamb. God was going to send his final judgment upon the Egyptians. Yes, he was going to send his final plague, the 10th plague. He was going to destroy all the firstborn males in the homes of the Egyptians. Whether they were young, whether they were old, it didn't matter. So long as they were the firstborn, God was going to destroy them. But God was going to spare the firstborn males in the home of the Israelites. How was God going to spare them? What did the Israelites have to do? Well, each of the household had to kill a lamb that was 1 year old and then sprinkle the blood of the lamb on the doorframe. Then came the night of the execution. God walked through the land of Egypt, destroyed all the firstborn males in the homes of the Egyptian. But he spared the firstborn males of the Israelites. Those who were dwelling in homes that had this door frame that had what? The blood of the Passover lamb sprinkled on the door frame. He spared. He passed over those homes. And that is why that lamb is known as the Passover lamb. And did you know something? The Word of God tells us very, very clearly that Jesus is our Passover. Did you know that? Alright, I show you this verse. Okay, and it's a very, very wonderful verse. I'd like us to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. You'll see that Jesus is indeed our Passover. Not something that I have said or something that I've imagined. No, but the Word of God says so. Alright, I read for you 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. I think it's very good that you mark this verse so you remember that Jesus is our Passover. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. Purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened. For even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. Did you read that? Yes, remember that verse. We must recognize that Jesus is our Passover lamb. We need his precious blood to cleanse us of all our sins. And when Jesus sees the blood of the lamb, the blood of his own lamb, what would he do? He will pass over us. He will spare us. Yes, God will spare us. His judgment will have come upon the Lamb of God, his own lamb, the judgment that was supposed to come upon us. It went upon the God's own lamb, the Son of God. He bore that punishment for us. Thank God for this Passover lamb. So my question to you is this morning is, Jesus your Passover? You must be able to say, yes, he indeed is my Passover lamb. If he is not your Passover lamb, you are in serious trouble, my dear friends. Then the Word of God also tells us in the prophecy of Isaiah that was made something like 700 years before the event actually took place. This was 700 years before the event actually took place. In Isaiah chapter 53, now again I'm explaining to you the meaning of the Lamb of God. Alright, Isaiah 53 verse 7. Isaiah 53 verse 7, please turn to that verse, but keep your finger at John 1. Isaiah 53 and verse 7.
Isaiah 53 verse 7. Let's read this verse together. Alright, together, go. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. Friends, he is the Lamb of God. He is brought as a sheep to the to the shearers. He is the Lamb of God. So Isaiah, in Isaiah chapter 53, was talking about this Lamb of God that was going to come in the future. The Lord had laid on him the iniquities of us all. Thank God for the Lamb of God. And then in the Old Testament, historically, the Jews had been bringing in countless number of lambs into the temple of Jerusalem to be sacrificed. And all these lambs were pointing to none other than the Lamb of God, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He was the lamb that was slaughtered for the sins of the people in those days. Now the question again I want to ask you is, do you recognize, do you see this Lamb of God as the lamb that was slaughtered for you? You must see him as such, my dear friends, so that you will have salvation. Now my question to you is this. Did Andrew understand when John the Baptist said, "Behold the Lamb of God," that John was in fact relating the ram that was sacrificed by Abraham to the Lamb of God that will come in the New Testament? Did he understand that? Do you think? Alright, I'll go on and ask you another question, and then we'll try to surmise, alright? Now, did he understand that the Passover lamb in the Old Testament was pointing to the Lamb of God? Did he understand? Alright. Now, did he understand that the lamb mentioned in the book of Isaiah was referring to this Lamb of God, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? Did he understand? Nah. This is my opinion. I dare say that there was a very good possibility that he understood something. He understood. Maybe not clearly, but he did understand. He did have some understanding. Don't forget, Andrew was a Jew. All right, we always forget, right? Because his name sounds so English. He's okay. He was a Jew, and he was a descendant of not English, Scots, right? Andrew. Don't forget, Andrew was a Jew, a descendant of Abraham. Now, would you not be familiar with the sacrifices that were brought in the Temple of Jerusalem in the Old Testament? Would you not? I'm sure he understood. Yes, and I dare say also that John the Baptist would have taught his disciples when he said, "The Lamb of God." Would he not have explained to his disciples the meaning of the Lamb of God? They were his disciples, don't forget. And Andrew was one of the disciples. Surely John the Baptist must have explained to them what was meant by the Lamb of God. Now, if Andrew didn't understand that night when he had this fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ, you think the Lord would have explained to him? What do you think? I think yes. So he would have some understanding of what was meant by the Lamb of God. Maybe not very clear, but he would have some understanding. But friends, you and I today are in a better position. We should have a good understanding of what is meant by the Lamb of God. Today, you see, we have the full revelation from the one true living God. In the time of Andrew, the revelation was partial, but we have the revelation in full today in the Word of God. And so we must have a good understanding of what is meant by the Lamb of God. And again, the pertinent question to all of us here, is he the Lamb of God that was offered for you? Do you see him as the Lamb of God that was offered for you, offered for your sins? And that is the most pertinent question. Now, if you don't see him as such, you're still lost, living in your sin, under condemnation. But once you see him as the Lamb of God who died for you on the cross of Calvary, who shed his precious blood, not just for everybody in the world, but for you in particular, my dear friends, straight away you will have everlasting life. Do you see him as such, my dear friends? Now, next, let's look at Andrew's evangelistic zeal. Now, having known that the Lord Jesus Christ is indeed the Lamb of God, and having known that the Lord Jesus Christ is indeed the Messiah, see what he did next, verse 41 in John chapter 1.
John chapter 1, he first findeth his brother, own brother, Simon, findeth his own brother Simon, and saith unto him, we have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted the Christ. So what did he do? As far as Andrew was concerned, charity began at home. Yes, he wasted no time. He brought the good news to his brother Simon Peter and told him, Simon, we have found the Messiah. Now, what did that show about Andrew? Did he love his brother? Of course, very concerned about the brother's salvation. The first person he sought out was his brother, Simon Peter. My dear friends, if we say that we love our loved ones, yes, the most loving thing that we can do for them is to give them the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Did you realize that? That is the most loving thing that you can do for them. Be an Andrew to them. Friends, think for a moment where they are heading if they do not have the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Think of where they are going. They are going to a place, as we said, where they will be tormented day and night for all eternity. Can you bear to think for a moment? Friends, think about it now. Think for a moment that this place where mom and dad are going, husband is going, her wife is going, my children are going, my dear friends, it's a terrible, terrible place. They are going to be tormented day and night for all eternity, all because they do not trust the Lamb of God to save them. Friends, think about that for a moment. Yes, what kind of sufferings they will have to go through. When your loved one, say your mother, is suffering from the pain of suffering from a terrible disease. When you look at mommy, how do you feel? I think you will feel very, very painful in your heart that mommy should be suffering in that manner. Or when you look at your child who is sick with a high fever, he's suffering from a very, very terrible headache because of that high fever. How do you feel, friends? Surely your heart will go up to your child because your child is suffering from a terrible, terrible pain. Now think of it, friends. These kinds of pain are nothing, absolutely nothing, compared to the pain that they will be suffering if they are going to suffer in hell and in the lake of fire. Yes, think about that. So, what ought we to be? Be Andrews, my dear friends. Be an Andrew for the Lord Jesus Christ to your loved ones. Share the gospel with them. Charity must begin at home. Now I thank the Lord that in this church, every year we set aside 2 months to encourage worshippers to be Andrews. We have 2 months of what is known as 30 in 30. During the months of the 30 in 30, the 2 months are April and September. What we aim to do is to encourage all our worshippers here to hand out a tract. One track per day, at least one track per day, 30 in 30. My dear friends, would you not do it? Would you not be an Andrew for the Lord? The whole purpose of our going through that exercise is to encourage all of us to be evangelistic. But friends, as I said, let us first of all be evangelistic in our homes. Charity must begin at home. And how can we be effective Andrews for the Lord if we are not bearing a good testimony in the home? It's vitally important that you must bear a good testimony in the home if you want to be an effective Andrew. I remember years ago in the first church that I worshipped in, there were schoolboys who appeared to be very zealous for the Lord Jesus Christ. But I tell you this, their unbelieving parents were not at all impressed by their testimony. You know why? Because these boys would be spending lots of the time away from home, not at home most of the time. So you know what that meant? That meant that they were not studying. They were neglecting their studies. So the parents were very, very angry that they became Christians. They were bearing bad testimony for the Lord. Yes, my point is this. If we want to be effective Andrews in the home, we must be effective testimonies in the home. Yes, we must show that we truly love the Lord and we want to shine for Him in the home. Let us take full advantage of this 30 in 30 program, or this 30 in 30 exercise, and train ourselves, use that time to train ourselves to have this habit of giving out a tract every day. Yes, 30 and 30, 30 and 30 is not just for us to share the gospel or hand out tract for 1 month and after that, we stop. No. That is the month in which we train ourselves to acquire the habit to share the gospel with people. Yes, and let us never ever despise the humble tract. Because, you know what we are doing? We are actually sowing God's word. And God's word is powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. You believe that? Yes, sharper than any two-edged sword. And the word of God tells us something about what God says about his word. In Isaiah 55 verse 11, the Lord says, "So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void. It shall accomplish that which I please. And it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it." Yes, that is how powerful God's word is. I never tire of narrating testimonies that encourage us to do good for the Lord. And this morning I want to tell you about these two testimonies again. One concerns my former classmate. Yes, a schoolmate, not my classmate, schoolmate. Years ago, as a boy kicking a soccer ball in one of the big soccer fields in Singapore, he received a gospel tract. He read the gospel tract and he was gloriously saved. And today, he is serving as an elder in one of our Bible Presbyterian churches. Now, another testimony involves a minister of the gospel. Today, he's serving as a pastor in one of our Bible Presbyterian churches. He too received a tract. As a boy or young man, he received this tract in Malaysia. He read it, and he was gloriously saved. And today, as I said, he's serving as a minister of the gospel. So let us never ever despise the humble tract. We are distributing the word of God. It shall not return unto him void. Let us be very, very encouraged, and let us take time, pray before we go up and hand out tracts. Don't just give one. Although we say 30 and 30, give as many as you can give. And then when we find the opportunity, let us pick up enough courage to talk to people about the gospel. Now you'll be very worried, right? Because you think you are not a Peter or not a Paul or an Apollos. You'll be very, very worried. But let's not worry about that. Let us think of ourselves as being what? Andrews. Alright. We don't have to be a Paul, don't have to be a Peter or an Apollos. Think of ourselves as being Andrews and share the gospel with people. Yes, introduce the Lord Jesus Christ to them and introduce them to the Lord Jesus Christ, just like Peter did, just like Andrew did. He introduced the Lord to Peter and introduced Peter to the Lord. Yes, he brought Peter to Jesus, and that is what evangelism is all about. We introduce people to the Lord Jesus Christ and introduce Jesus to them. Show them that they need the gospel. Show them that they need Jesus, and we show them that they need Jesus by showing them that they are sinners in need of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. If they don't see themselves as sinners, they'll never ever feel that they need the gospel. So show them the laws of God. Show them that they have broken God's 10 laws. And then tell them salvation is in the Lamb of God, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So may I encourage you not to give up. If you fail in your first attempt to give the gospel, look at how many times John the Baptist made this declaration: "Behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world." You know how many times he made that declaration? Two times, not just once. Alright, you look at John chapter 1 verses 28 and 29. John 1, 28, 29. "These things were done in Bethabara, beyond Jordan, where John was baptizing. The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, Behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. And then he proclaimed it again," verse 35. "And again the next day after, John stood and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, Behold the Lamb of God." So two times.
and the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed. Yes, it was when John made this proclamation the second time that Andrew responded, and not the first time. Surely many of us didn't come to the trust the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior the first time we heard the gospel. How many of you came to trust the Lord Jesus Christ the first time you heard the gospel? How many times? How many of you? None, isn't it true? So we must have heard the gospel many times, and not just from one Andrew, possibly many Andrews. I thank the Lord for sending different Andrews into my life. The first Andrew that the Lord sent into my life was my own brother, my older brother. He heard the gospel and he was gloriously saved. My brother was a shy person, not a public speaker, always very much in the background. But he shared the gospel with me. He then brought me to Sunday school. I was then in primary school. In Sunday school, of course, I heard the gospel again, but I didn't want to believe. And I left church. And for the next 7 years, I was away from church. And then 7 years later, when I went back to church, guess who was the Andrew? My brother again. He brought me back to church. But there was another Andrew in my life. And this was my former Sunday school mate. I left Sunday school, left church, went to this, went to secondary school. And lo and behold, the year after I joined this secondary school, my former Sunday school mate joined us. Joined the secondary school that I was in. I was in trouble because he hounded me like anything for the next 6 to 7 years. Every time he met me, he would say, "Hey, when are you come back to church? When you come back to church?" After 6 to 7 years, I finally capitulated. So I went to his Christmas party in his church. I played a game and I won a book entitled Heaven, written by D.L. Moody, a very thin book. I read it, and you guess what? After I read that book, I promised the Lord. I said, "Lord, I will read one chapter of the Bible every day." Yes, I did that. And then, so you see, the Lord sent two Andrews into my life, my older brother and this former Sunday school mate of mine. And the actions of these two Andrew was the thing that caused me to go back to church. And shortly after that, I came to trust Jesus as my Lord and Savior. And I'm eternally grateful to them. As they were Andrews to me, I see my responsibility to be an Andrew to other people. Yes, friends, people have been Andrews to you. They gave the gospel to you. Now, it is your responsibility and also your privilege to be an Andrew to other people. And let us never give up in well-doing. Let us continue to give tracts. Be actively involved in the 30 in 30. Be an Andrew today. Yes, you may be the Andrew that reap, or you may be the Andrew that sows the seed. My dear friends, somebody else could be an Andrew that reaps. It doesn't matter. The most important thing is be an Andrew for the Lord Jesus Christ. Will you be an Andrew for the Lord? Next, let's look at Andrew's call. Now, this meeting of Andrew with the Lord was not the time that the Lord called Andrew to be his fisher of men. Yes, his call to Andrew to serve him came a little later on. We read this in Matthew chapter 4, verses 18 to 20. And Matthew chapter 4, verses 18 to 20. Matthew 4, 18 to 20. I read for you. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he says unto them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." And they straightway left their nets and followed them. Friends, when Andrew and Simon Peter heard God's call, what did they do? They straightway left their fishing nets and possibly their fishing boats also. They forsook all to follow the Lord. They forsook their nets and their boats, which were their livelihood. My prayer is that all of us here will respond to the Lord's call and be willing to follow the Lord and to serve Him. And it is also my prayer that some people in this church, young ones or older ones, may respond to the call to serve the Lord, to give your life full time to serve the Lord. Now, I suppose
the most natural fear that people would have is, how am I going to provide for myself? How am I going to provide for my family if I serve the Lord full-time as a minister of the gospel? What's the answer, friends? The answer is faith, of course. If He calls us, He will surely provide for us. And then let us also realize that not every one of us is called to serve Him full-time. The Lord gives each one of us different abilities, different talents, different gifts, but in whatever capacity that He has placed us in. Let us remember He has called us to do His will. And what is His will? It's given to us through the great Apostle Paul. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And that's the will of the Lord for us. Present our bodies as a living sacrifice. Not long after I came to trust Jesus as my Lord and Savior, I heard this call to present my body as a living sacrifice to Him. I remember that night, the call was made. I was 19 at that time. I said, Lord, yes, I will follow You. I want to do what You want me to do. Then, not so long after that, I heard a young deacon preaching on this topic called tent making, on how Paul preached the gospel but supported himself by tent making. You see, all the Jews had to learn a trade, and Paul's trade was tent making. He preached the gospel full time, but in order to support himself, he did his tent making in his spare time. The challenge that this deacon gave to us was to treat our jobs like tent making. My dear friends, as of that day, I responded. I decided that as far as possible, I would treat my job as tent making. Yes, I would earn a living, but I would give the rest of my time and all my energy to serve the Lord. But I must confess that my tent making was not to the same degree as that of the great Apostle Paul. Paul preached the gospel full time and use his spare time to do tent making, whereas I was earning a living full time and using my spare time to serve the Lord in the church. But my point is this: to whatever extent we can treat our job as tent making, let us treat it like tent making. To whatever extent, let us give our all to the Lord. Behold, the Lamb of God which taketh away the sins of the world. Now, what is your response to this truth? Andrew heard these words, he responded, he recognized that the Lord Jesus Christ is none other than the Messiah promised in the Old Testament. Friends, if you do not see the Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, as the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of your world, and particularly your sin, you are still living in your sin. Your sins have not been cleansed by His precious blood. And if your sins have not been cleansed by His precious blood, take note of this. One day, you are going to face the wrath of the Lamb of God. You say, what? A lamb can be so angry? Of course, because you rejected his offer of salvation today. You reject Him as the Lamb of God who came and died for you. Now, if you rejected Him, one day you will have to face the wrath of the Lamb of God. Now, I didn't invent these words, my dear friends. I'd like us to look at Revelation chapter 6, verse 16. And it's going to be a very, very terrifying day, my dear friends. Revelation chapter 6, verse 16. All right, and if you today do not see the Lord Jesus Christ as the Lamb of God who came to shed His precious blood for you, this is what you are going to say someday. You are going to say to the mountains and to the rocks, fall on us, hide us from the face of Him that sitteth on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb, hide us. You wish you could die, but you will not be able to die. During those 7 years of tribulation, if you are still alive on this earth, you are going to face the wrath of the Lamb of God. You will cry out and say, Lord, let the rocks and the mountains fall on us. But they will not fall on you. Friends, you will not be able to die. And then for sure, if Jesus is not the Lamb of God to you, that who took away your sins, one day you shall have to stand before the great white throne of God. And when you stand before the great white throne of God, the Lord is going to find you guilty of the sins that you had committed while you were alive on this earth. And you are going to be cast into the lake of fire, where you will be tormented day and night for all eternity. Don't you think it's serious? Friends, it's serious. I hope you treat it as serious. So Andrew responded to these words, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." And he subsequently became a soul winner. He brought his brother Peter to the Lord. Now, he was no great preacher, as I said. He just introduced the Lord to Peter and introduced Peter to the Lord. That's all he did. But Peter became a great preacher of the gospel. So you can't tell, friends, you hand out the tract today. Somebody comes to believe. He might become a very, very great preacher in the future. The Lord definitely wants us to be Andrews. The question is, can we be Andrews for him? For years, we had established this witness on the island of Saipan. And the missionary that was sent out from our church was Reverend Pang Kok Hiong. Over time, many mainland Chinese went over to Saipan to work in the factories. Their aim, of course, was to earn good American dollars to serve them well when they returned to mainland China. And of course, there were those who went and who made the money. They were non-Christians, and when they went home, they packed their luggages with all the latest electronic gadgets. They packed a lot of those things home. But those who were converted, those who came under the gospel, under the ministry of Reverend Pang, packed their bags with what? Gospel tracts, gospel literature, Bibles, tapes, gospel CDs, and they carried them back to China. They ran the risk of being arrested by the Chinese government. But they took the risk because they wanted to be Andrews for the Lord Jesus Christ. And here in Australia, friends, we have no risk at all in giving out the gospel. Will we not be Andrews for the Lord? Friends, no risk at all. Handing out a tract is no crime. Let's do it, friends. Like Andrew, let us hear God's call. He says, "Come, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Will we respond and say, "Yes, Lord, I will follow you"? And I trust that some among us will go further and say, "Yes, Lord, I will follow you. I will serve you full time. I give up my whole life for you. Yes, here am I, Lord. Send me." Amen. Let's pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the example of Andrew. We know that surely you have called us to be Andrews for you. And we pray, Lord, that we all might be willing to be Andrews for you this morning. And we know that this will indeed be a revived church, one that is full of life, if all of us were to be Andrews for you. Help us, O Lord God, to respond to this call to be an Andrew for you. And Father, we want to pray for those who might still be outside of the Lord Jesus Christ. This morning, we pray that they will recognize and see that Jesus is indeed the Lamb of God that was slaughtered for them. Enable them to see that the Lord Jesus Christ is indeed the Passover Lamb that was killed for them. Lord, we pray that they will respond. And Father, we pray that for some here who undecided on what they want to do for themselves in their lives, perhaps, Lord, you might be calling them to serve you full time. This morning, may they hear your call and may they be willing to say, "Yes, Lord, I want to follow you. I want to give my life to you. I want to serve you full time. Here am I, send me." In Jesus' blessed name we pray. Amen.